Let me be blunt. Too many countries are headed in the wrong direction.
We will take aim at that statement. This is Friday, July 17th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, the top coronavirus expert in the United States has his say. One area of Asia is not only fighting the virus, but also a major drought. We'll look at the changing U.S. political picture. It is all on today's VOA Asia. The World Health Organization warns that the coronavirus pandemic raging around the globe will get worse if countries don't stick to strict healthcare precautions. However, the world body also says this needs to be done without shifting from lockdown to lockdown. VOA correspondent Mariana Diallo has more.
As coronavirus infections surpass 13 million globally with more than 500,000 deaths, the World Health Organization is sounding a new alarm.
Let me be blunt. Too many countries are headed in the wrong direction.
The head of the world body insists without mandating basic outbreak control methods such as physical distancing, wearing masks, or staying home when sick, there's only one way for this pandemic to go.
It's going to get worse and worse.
His remarks come as WHO reported yet another worldwide record of more than 230,000 new cases in 24 hours on Sunday. 10 countries accounted for 80% of that total. More than half of the new confirmed cases came from the United States and Brazil.
Countries are losing gains made as proven measures to reduce risk are not implemented or followed. We're seeing this across the Americas, South Asia, and several countries in Africa.
South Africa accounts for most of the confirmed cases in Africa, with nearly 300,000 cases, including more than 4,000 deaths, according to the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Amid a surge in hospitalizations, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa addressed the nation Sunday.
We are now recording well over 12,000 new cases every day. That is the equivalent of 500 new infections every hour of the day.
He reinstated a series of measures, including banning liquor sales to minimize hospitalization due to alcohol-related injuries and ordering a nighttime curfew. The South African president also made it mandatory for all residents to wear face masks when in public. In the U.S., several states are rolling back reopening plans. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom ordered bars and indoor restaurant dining to shut down statewide and also ordered churches, gyms, and hair salons to close in the hardest hit counties.
We're continuing to see hospitalizations rise in the state. We're continuing to see a modest increase in ICUs and number of beds represented by ICU patients throughout the state of California. And we continue to experience an increase in the rate of positivity here in the state of California.
A nail salon owner says the new order will not only affect him, but so many others.
If we don't make no money to pay the rent, the landlord suffers too. So everybody has a problem. Yeah, and then also we don't have income, and then the family, our family, the problem too.
Something the WHO head touched on this week.
We need to reach a sustainable situation where we have adequate control of this virus without shutting down our lives entirely or lurching from lockdown to lockdown, which has a hugely detrimental impact on societies.
And the measures put in place in country by country so far have had varying degrees of success or failure. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Washington.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. China became the first major economy to grow since the start of the coronavirus pandemic, recording an unexpectedly strong 3.2% expansion. The United States is imposing visa restrictions on certain employees of Chinese technology companies, including Huawei. Pakistan and close ally China have formally launched construction at a multi-billion dollar dam in the Pakistan-administered part of the disputed Kashmir region, ignoring rival India's objections to the project. Monsoon floods have swamped large parts of India's densely populated eastern states. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. Infighting over the White House's handling of the coronavirus pandemic is spilling further into public view, with trade advisor Peter Navarro panning Dr. Anthony Fauci as President Donald Trump stands watch. Fauci is the nation's top infectious disease expert. The long-simmering tiff escalated when Navarro wrote an op-ed in USA Today skewering Fauci, writing that the doctor has been wrong about everything I have interacted with him on. So when you ask me whether I listen to Dr. Fauci's advice, my answer is only with skepticism and caution. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
With the pandemic only getting worse, Fauci calls it a bit bizarre. He's looking at the map. Others are engaged in nonsense.
Rather than these games people are playing, let's focus on that.
Telling The Atlantic the nation's going in the wrong direction, with Arizona, Florida, California, and Texas yesterday alone reporting 36,000 new confirmed cases and more than 450 deaths.
So we got to call a timeout, do a pause, and say, what do we need to do?
Sagar Magani, Washington.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
You're listening to VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. As we turn our attention toward U.S. politics, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin are three industrial states Donald Trump narrowly won on his path to the White House in 2016, and which Democrats hope to recapture this year. They are home to many communities where high-wage manufacturing jobs have disappeared in recent decades. VOA's Kane Farabaugh reports from Wisconsin, where job losses have continued during the pandemic as voters gear up for the presidential election in November.
This sprawling Riverside paper mill is one of Wisconsin Rapids' most defining and historic features.
It is the bloodline, the lifeline of Wisconsin Rapids. It's the one thing that has survived through world wars, great depressions. It's been here, and it is the solid. I mean, that's what we depend on here.
The mill employed several generations of Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug's family. From its peak when thousands passed through its doors to the present, when roughly 900 workers who collect a paycheck from Verso Corporation, the current owners, will be the last. The facility prepared to close in July, in part because the COVID-19 pandemic tanked demand from businesses that use the plant's paper for advertising.
It hits you that this is the first time that this plant will ever shut down in its 120-year history. I mean, that's something that impacts me to my core.
Closure also impacts thousands of other workers, like Laura Delaney, who manages her family's timber harvesting operation.
They were one of the largest suppliers for us to take our hardwood and aspen to.
Now she's sitting on tons of timber without a buyer. She worries about her employees and making payments on new equipment.
Those machines cost upwards of $700,000. They don't pay for themselves if they're not working.
The paper mill's fate is a familiar story in Midwestern states known as the Rust Belt, where plants have disappeared and many who once earned a middle-class wage making everything from cars to refrigerators have lost their jobs and feel overlooked by politicians.
What we do is very important, but I think it's forgotten a lot.
President Trump narrowly won Wisconsin in 2016, promising to reverse U.S. manufacturing job losses.
I feel that he has had to fight an uphill battle the whole time that he's been in there, and I think that if he was left to do the job that he said he was going to do, he would do it very well.
despite trade wars with China and other nations, manufacturing jobs have not flooded back to the United States on Trump's watch. Presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden has led Trump in recent Wisconsin polls.
It's not that Wisconsin voters are enthusiastic about Joe Biden, but they have soured on Donald Trump.
Political scientist Barry Burden sees an erosion of Trump's core rationale for his presidency in the minds of some voters.
I think the real question is whether people trust that Trump is going to lead them to ultimately a better place when it comes to jobs, or whether this is a sign of his failure in trying to deliver the things he was promising 4 years ago.
As he works to find a new owner for the mill, Krug, the first Republican to represent Wisconsin Rapids in the state assembly in 40 years, also faces re-election in the November contest.
The choice for me is still with President Trump, but the choice is a little less solid because of some of the things that we're impacting here. So I think that's why we've put so much pressure on the administration to try to step in, because it's time to do some action and make actions louder than words.
Hours away from Wisconsin Rapids, a new facility owned by Taiwanese electronics manufacturer Foxconn promised to create 13,000 jobs. But even before the pandemic, the company reported only about 600 people worked at the site. Kane Fairbaugh, VOA News, Wisconsin Rapids.
Now on VOA Asia. Across the Mekong Delta, fishermen, farmers, and their families are hoping the current wet season will end a long-running drought. Its effects are being felt in Myanmar, Thailand, Laos, Vietnam, and in Cambodia, where rainfall has been way short of expectations. Luke Hunt has the story.
According to the Mekong River Commission, rainfall during May and June was about 70% lower than for the same period a year ago. And that is upsetting people who rely on the river system, which, in full flood, is bigger than the size of Belgium. Seasoned fisherman Man Lee Hee has plied these waters for decades and is upset with the construction of dams and what is happening along the Mekong River. He says there are no fish because of the new dams, including Stung Treng, which blocked the river flow. Water levels are going up and down three or four times a month, depending on whether the dams are open or closed. He adds this rainy season, there has been no rain. The wet season in Southeast Asia is driven by the Indian monsoon. But scientists say rising sea temperatures in the Indian Ocean is changing weather patterns. This can result in extreme drought, a situation which can only get worse with plans to construct about 140 dams in China and Laos. Yan is a Muslim Cham who moved his family back to Cambodia from Vietnam, where he lived during the Pol Pot years. He has lived on a boat and fished for the last 35 years. He says fish numbers have fallen dramatically over the last 5 years and he does not fish anymore. He says he wakes up at 2 a.m. to buy fish at Chang Tramar Fish Market and then sells it in the Kandal Market. He says they only make a small profit because they have to buy fish because there are no fish in the river. Yan says his wife works for many hours in the market while he does other jobs like fixing the boat. She sells in the market in the morning, then he picks her up. They pray after lunch and relax for a few hours, then go back to market and sell fish again. At 8 p.m. they come back home. Yan says life on the Mekong is difficult. Satsmay Raw from Troy Chang Va village has lived on a boat since she was born 25 years ago. She says she has never seen water levels this low. She says the water levels can rise, and when the river turns dark in colour, she can catch fish, maybe 2 or 3 kilograms a day. She adds that she heard that a dam collapsed last year when the water was too high. The plight of these river dwellers is grim, and it's a situation that is unlikely to change until this drought, already in its second year, comes to an end. Luke Hunt for VOA News, Phnom Penh, Cambodia.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gaub. Our VOA Asia team includes Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman in Washington.